They look for a moment where you go, they hang around when you get a problem. I do such things if you're a believer. That is, if those kind of relationship matter is based on, for me, it's based on Christianity. It's based purely on Christianity. And I like the way God has raised me to help Nigerians in this day and age. My wife is from Delta State. My best man is from Abia State. When I got married, I had friends everywhere. The person who was my best man, his name is Uchechi Obioma Igbokwe. How more Igbo can you get than that? Think about it. He's from Umuahia. Some of you may, he was around here so a few months ago. All right? He's my friend. Now he lives in the UK. He's my bosom friend. That's what God has raised me to be. So if somebody will now want to bring me down to another level, I get a bit irritated. I say, my friend, get away from there. I outgrew this thing before I entered university. Self. I learned all of these things as part of my fundamentals of Christianity. Let me not lose the main thing I'm trying to explain, please. I'm talking about seeking the kingdom of God and what? His righteousness. How do you know you are doing what is right? That's what I'm coming to. How do you know indeed it is the kingdom of God you are building? It is by building it according to the will of God. Now we're back to the matter of the will of God. Listen to me. The perfect will of God is hardly ever spoken to anybody. Now, you know I said it earlier, that there are three things God communicates. Concerning God speaking to somebody, the voice of God. One is the perfect will of God, which I said is rare. Is rare. Let me say it again. It's rare. Most of what people hear is the second level of God's voice. The will of God downscaled to fit your ability to receive it. Where do you discover the perfect will of God? It is written. The perfect will of God is written. What did I say? What did I say? What did I say? That's why you grow into it. If God were to utter his perfect will to you all the time, it brings you more judgment than anything else. Because you keep coming short of perfect obedience. So it gives you judgment. So it doesn't worry you with that. He gives you the word you can... That's why, when somebody said that, I was waking up this morning, God began to speak. That's why, don't harass anybody with it. You know why you shouldn't harass anybody with it? Let me just quickly tell you that, because I differ from a lot of Christians concerning this, co-ministers and all of that. If God tells you something, most of the time, please, when you want to repeat it, don't say, God said. Have you noticed that I have never told you that God said we should go on radio? If you have been here long enough, there are words you don't hear from my mouth. Have you noticed? I have never come to tell God said we should go on TV. I have never told God said we should be having Bible studies on Tuesdays and on Saturdays. Some of the things that pushed me to make those decisions are stronger than a lot of people experienced when they came out shouting, God said, God said. When will you know it was God that said that I should do it? No wahala. Watch out for the next 25 years. Let's see what came out of it. Let me give an example. I ended last time by narrating the experience of Ben Carson. Can you remember that? When I said, Ben Carson said, a woman came and said, we know that God will use you. And he told the woman simply, yes, he's going to use me first of all to explain to you that you have tried. And they said, no, he's going to do more than that. He said, I couldn't just act upon their faith like that. No, I had to have scientific, medically reasonable reasoning to follow. Though, of course, I was trying to move to cooperate with them, but what they said is secondary to what is sensible. But eventually, what they said God said was true or false? It was. Why did I say we should go on radio? I have many reasons. And one of them, like this one, going on radio the first time, I told you before, I wanted to go on radio. And I went to go and prize radio at Uju's place. When they gave me prize. No, first time I went, it was not your place. It was Cosmo. I ran away. 25,000 naira each time I stop for 30 minutes. What is it? Look how wickedness is that. I disappeared. Then, I fought. Of course, by the time I did calculation, it was for freedom that Christ has set us free. I won't owe anybody. Hey! No. When I did the calculation, I said, I lie. I'm not doing it. Then one day I went to church. I was with my wife. My wife had the meeting. I went to pick my wife. She had a meeting in the church premises. So I was sitting in the car waiting. But as my habit, I was into a message. And Pastor Kwaju was preaching. I can't remember what he said. All I know that by the time the message ended, something inside me felt like this is the time to get on radio and start teaching the word of God. So I got up. And this time around, because Cosmos scared me the first time, this time around I went to Radio Nigeria. They gave us a price that was, I thought was reasonable compared to what Cosmo gave. After their discounts, we're going to pay about 18,000 something per broadcast. And that's better than 25. Then we fixed time. The day I was supposed to go and see them, I now mentioned to somebody in my office, I'm going to be teaching on radio, I'm going to Radio Nigeria. And I said, Radio Nigeria. Why don't you try Cosmo? Cosmo will be a better deal. I said, do you know how much they are charging? He said, okay, I just talk to them. I just decided that that may be the voice of God. Are you getting my point? And I walked to Cosmo, incidentally. That's why I was the first preacher on Cosmo FM. I was the first, because before that time, Cosmo had this funny rule. The man who was running that time decided he didn't want preachers. And before he said he was a wicked soul, it wasn't exactly a wicked soul. What happened was that he thought preachers were dry, drab, you know, get my point? And they were too, they often get into unnecessary controversies. So he felt that they were not blessing people. That is summary. He was not around when I came to Cosmo, and the person acting that time had told the men that, look, the preachers are the ones that spend money. Come on, let them come on. Do you get my point? So when I got there, we negotiated. They gave me 15,000 naira. That was good, all right? 15K. That's very nice. Now, this is the point. By the time the man came and saw and he heard, and of course, the program, you know, it actually quickly caught fire. The radio station were, you know, they were besieged with text messages. People go there, please. They want to see Pastor Banky. They actually said, Pastor Banky does not work in the radio station. He comes here to drop his CD and go away. There was a day, the second broadcast, one young man got up from where he was and ran from Osaka to come and look for me in Cosmo. And they went around Enugu looking for Kingdom World Church. I'm still in the rain. Finally, he arrived in Cosmo. He didn't start with Cosmo. He went around Enugu looking for a place. Who knows? He didn't have any idea. He was just saying, please, who knows where's Kingdom World Church? Kingdom World Church. Nobody knew Kingdom World Church because there's no Kingdom World Church in Enugu. Finally, he said, let me go to the radio station. By that time, it was getting late. It was raining. It was the day that it rained. When they got there, this one said that, look, we just know his office is somewhere near here. So they pointed to this building and they came here looking for me. Finally, he met my friend downstairs who picked up the phone and said, Banky, where are you? I said, I'm in Benin. He said, one young man is looking for you. This time it was late afternoon by this time. As I'm just driving out of Benin, I'm heading back to Enugu. Tell him to come by. The guy said he will wait. I got into town by 7 p.m. The guy was waiting. That was the kind of impact that radio broadcast had. And we never lacked money to pay for it. Then one day I said, let us split it down to 15 minutes. The Ike DG, who was there, he used to be a DJ on air that time. You remember Ike DG? Ike DG said, Pastor, 15 minutes. When people are asking for you to make it 1 hour. It was because of Ike DG that we became 30 minutes twice a week. Because he said, look, we can talk. So I talked with their marketer, we negotiated again. They brought the price down further. Cut it down by like 30% so that we can have twice a week. I didn't have to come and harass anybody. Now God said to me, let us go on radio. That's where I'm going with all of these stories. Either he led me or he did not. Are you getting my point? Time will tell that you may prove what the will of God is. Why are we going back? Again, I can't come and argue with you. God said we should go back. I may have my persuasion. But God can say what he wants. If he doesn't bring money, we ain't going anywhere. You know that? You see, I wish you would understand. God's word is not just an instruction. Go on radio. That word brings money. That word brings money. I said that word also brings money. That's what I'm coming to. It does. The word doesn't give me the ability to go and harass anybody or disturb myself for money. No, it doesn't. What it does is to bring forth the anointing to preach, to bring forth the money to pay, or to persuade the radio station not to take money. I don't need to come and harass you. God said, Pastor Banky, thou shalt arise, my son, and get on air and broadcast my word. The word which, as it were, amen, I put inside your mouth from the beginning. That one are theatrics. It's Pentecostal theatrics. Don't worry. You know, if it comes like that, take it, amen. If it doesn't come like that, don't worry your head. And if it comes like that, does not come with money, does not come with favor, does not come with anointing, forget it. Somebody was just acting home movie for you. Don't just worry your head. I told you before, in Christianity, no prophet comes with an instruction. They come with confirmation. You hear what I said? This Christianity, prophets don't come with instructions. They come with what? Confirmation. If a man just comes to me and says, Pastor Banky, but the Lord said I should tell you, get up and walk on your head. I will ask him, did the Lord give me anointing to walk on my head? Do you follow the point I'm trying to make? So I don't need to come and tell you, hey, God said you shall go on air. Even if I feel he said so, it's my issue. I said, there's something I want to teach Christians. I hope you all learn it, especially if you're a preacher. Don't say God said anyhow. Don't say it in public most times. Let it be a rarity. Leave it for the mouth of real prophets. You know what I'm saying? Let Tunde Bakare come and tell you yesterday morning, because that's a prophetic anointing. It's different from God leading me. That's not prophetic. A prophetic anointing is a different matter. He can come on air and say, God said I should tell this nation. Fine. But if it's your personal life, you prove what the will of God is. The will of God, I tell you, is different from what God says somebody should go and tell somebody. It is never the will of God that the nation should be destroyed. But it's always the will of God that sin will be judged. Are you getting my point? So if a nation walks into sin and walks in iniquity, destruction becomes the will of God for them. But if they repent, that will changes. The point I made at the beginning, the will of God really does not change. Which tells you what comes to them each time is not the perfect will of God. It is the one they have connected with by their lifestyles and their prayers. Are you getting what I'm saying? As a Christian, don't go around saying, God said to me, it's not necessary. It's not necessary. I have seen people doing exactly... No, let me give an example. Let's assume now, all right? I just want to use my son as an example. Let's assume now that there's food here, all right? There's a nice rice, chicken, plantain, everything. And my son, Akinlu, sits down there. And I say, Bobo, what's God saying to you? Say, Daddy, the Lord said I should go and eat that plate of food. Bobo, the Lord said I should go and eat a plate of food. When he did not speak, what did you do to the food? I have been there when the Lord was not even around. What did you do to the food? You ate it. Now you want to disturb me to say that it's the Lord that says you can't eat food. Are you getting what I'm saying? Oftentimes we harass God. We blame God for things that he has nothing to do with. And I've seen that a lot of times. I have seen people that I know this is their attitude towards life. Then they wake up and say, oh, right now, I just feel God telling me that this is what we should do. I say, ah, okay. When God did not tell you before, you did it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Christians do that a lot. And why will people say, hey, God said? The reason is because something rose up inside them. And they decided that that is God. Do you follow my point? Do you follow my point? If you go to America today, it happens a lot. A man will wake up after 5 days fasting and praying. Say, God said I should divorce my wife and marry that other woman. No, it's sad, but it happens. And the man will come to church, announce that he has divorced his wife, and according to the will of God, you know, last night as I was praying and the Lord began to speak, and as I looked to my right and I saw, I said, well, so what did the Lord say? He said, I should marry that girl. Mm. So this one, it is no longer male and female, he created them. For this cause, this man shall not leave his father and mother, may join to his wife. He shall temporarily wander vows. What do you call it? Forces, weak. weak electric forces, temporary, very easy to dissociate under any condition. It is covalent bonding that the Lord uses. Right? If you see, go to America. Nigerians have learned it too. We are not using the Lord to divorce our wives yet. We are using him to. The Lord said, all the things you have in your pocket right there. You shall not live here with it. We do that one a lot. I said, the Lord that never says you should give to me, that Lord is very suspicious. He only knows how to collect. One brother, when we were in school those days, he said, this one that you keep overshooting meeting. He says, Holy Ghost. He still said it to us last convention went for Rebecca. He said, I have no problem with Holy Ghost overshooting meeting. He said, my problem is that this Holy Ghost never, do you understand? The meeting is 2 hours. You stay 3 hours, 4 hours. They will say, why? He says, Holy Ghost. If it's really Holy Ghost, we should show up one day and say, where have all of you gone? Say, today we spent only 1 hour. What happened? It was the Holy Spirit. But if it's only overshooting, oh boy, the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. That is, God gave it to you. Say, if you want to close in 2 hours, we shall close. If you guys want to stay 5 hours, my name is God who neither sleeps nor slumbers. Where am I hurrying to? And you want to be blessed for 5 hours, I will be there. Pouring forth the anointing. What am I saying? Christians, let's not worry. I told you I won't stay long. I'm disciplining myself. The Lord is good. Christians, let's not worry ourselves with how do I hear the voice of God? No. What we should concern ourselves with is what? How do I prove the will of God? Two different things, right? How do I what? Prove the will of God. And without going into that today, it's a simple thing. Paul said it's by being transformed by the renewing of what? Your mind. I will discuss that. Of course, you know, there are things I have said again and again, but you must not finish saying them. Christians must learn them. What does it mean when it says mind? Simple. Mind is how you see things. There are two different Greek words you find. One is for heart, one is mind. There are two different words. They mean two different things. Mind has to do with your perception. How do you see things? What colors your mind? What colors your outlook on the world, on the earth, on things that happen to you? Like Job. Job had a lot of calamities. If it's most of us believers today, what do? Brethren, we must pray. The devil that we saw today, we will not see it anymore. This devil, you keep on saying all kinds of things. Everything is centered around devil. Your prosperity is only absence of devil. That's what you think. The reason why you are prosperous is because you have conquered the devil. No. We are devil-centric, like my English, all right? I'm serious. We have become devil-centric. But what did Job say? He looked at it, said, the Lord gave, the Lord has taken. And Job was right. Because if you've been coming around, we started last Tuesday teaching on the gospel according to Job. We're in Job chapter 1, verse 12. You go and read Job chapter 2, you see God spoke to Satan. He said, even though you moved me against him, it was God that moved against Job. It was not Satan. Satan just came around and said, Lord, any job for the boys? Because you go and see what happened. The people were presenting themselves before God, and Satan also came in the midst of them. They came to take their marching orders. And Satan never brought up the matter of Job. God did. Perspective. I was telling the story of how I came to Enugu. No, some of my thoughts after I came here. Before, people said all kinds of things. It's better to go amongst your people. I said, Paul said, give offense neither to Jews or to Gentiles or to the church of God. The people that are my people are the church of God. And they are around everywhere. Safety is not in the garden of men. It's in where the favor of God is. That's how I look at life. Today I was looking, I said, no, because something happened, I was just alone in the house meditating. I said, God, if you give a man 5 million naira every month, do you know by the following week he's asking you for 6 million? When you give him 10, 2 months later, I said, God, why can you not make this thing just 12? Somebody forwarded a mail to me, to our mailing group. He called it 99 Club. Let me summarize because of time. He said a king one day looked at one of his servants. The servant was always happy, though poor, but always happy. So the king asked one of his advisors, said, how come that guy is always happy? And the advisor said, Oga, he has not yet joined the 99 Club. There was a 99 Club. He said, check it. Go and put 99 gold coins at his doorstep. Watch him join the 99 Club. Those days, 99 gold coins is like, let me just put estimates of how it is to somebody today. It's like you go and put 99, let's assume about 9 million naira at the man's doorsteps. Unless 9.9 million. Because the way it is, that if you go and read books like The Richest Man in Babylon, you know that a gold coin was something you worked for. A normal liberal will work a whole year. Total everything will come to maybe about one gold coin. One. They used to work, use mostly copper and silver for day-to-day transactions. So they put 99 gold coins in this man's doorstep. Are you getting what I'm saying? So the man said, watch him. So the man got there, saw 99 gold coins. He counted 99, counted again 99, counted again 99. He said, no, this must be a mistake. Supposed to be 100. Now, why should anybody give somebody 99 gold coins? Anyway, since they gave me 99, let me make it 100. He began to work twice as hard as he was working before. The times he used to stay with his wife and children, no time anymore. We have to make these gold coins up to 100. When he didn't have any, no wahala. They gave him 99, suddenly he's asking for the extra one. So I prayed this afternoon. I said, dear Lord, please help me to be content with what I have. I don't want to be harassing you for what I don't have. It's a vital point. There are those who say, my friends over here earn this amount of money. I said, Lord, my friend, bank you over here, is teaching the word of God. Thank you for the privilege. That's my job. Are you getting my point? That is, how do you see life? There are those who see themselves as if they are at a disadvantage. It's because of where I am right now. If only I was in America, life would be easier and rosier and better and everything. But like I said to us, what's your Naomi? Remember that. Naomi means that I have something bigger than me that I'm living for. A friend of mine was about to relocate from Enugu a few years ago. Then I was in church and I was preaching. I said, where should you be? I said, where's ministry? He said, when I said it, he realized that he's not supposed to leave. Money can be somewhere, but where do I affect the lives of people? That's where I'm supposed to be. You are transformed by the renewal of what? Your mind. When you go out in the day, everybody's against me. You ask yourself, am I against other people? Do you follow what I'm saying? That's what we call being transformed by the renewing of your mind. The word of God begins to change how you see things. A young man came to me here one day. He said, Pastor, I think I have a problem. I said, what's the problem? He said, I'm not operating the blessing. I said, okay, so what is it? He showed me all the calamities in his life. And I started laughing. I said, no, your problem. He said, what? I said, you are spoiled. You are spoiled. I told him, you are spoiled. You are spoiled. I wish you have more calamity so that you wake up to reality. I say a righteous man can fall 7 times, the Lord will still raise him up. God saves him in the time of affliction. Not as he never sees affliction. I say men walk through fire. They jam lions. What is your problem? I say, I apologize. He say, I'm very sorry, sir. You go around complaining and whining like that. You are the first to see wahala in life. Being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Some people think that the reason why I have not made money is because witches are against me. You know why I know there's no witch against me? All the ones that would have tried would have died suddenly. Every witch that tried to be against me died long ago. And peradventure, you know a witch that wants to die suddenly and is afraid to drink poison. Just go and afflict that man. You will soon die. I know it because greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. This is the point. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. A friend of mine, now, they had real calamity. Real one. Their son died. The couple, they are my friend. And the woman was telling me one day, said, one day her neighbor came and said, madam, have you heard? you know that woman. He said, yes. Ah, she's the one that did what? She's a witch. She killed your child. My friend scattered laughter. Laughed. I said, mother, come and start going. It's not necessary. Listen to me. No witch can kill my child. Bye-bye. That's how they send, you know. He has been transformed. Look, that it doesn't mean a Christian ever has afflictions. But one person doesn't start worrying about is witches and devils. She laughed and said, forget. When me and God said to arrange ourselves, as for witches, they don't have any power against me. He said, how will one chase 1,000? Or two chase 10,000? The 1,000 and the 10,000 were Israelites. That is, their enemies chasing them. He said, except that their Lord gave them up. So he said, forget witches, forget wizards. If I have problems, I turn like Elihu said. I will say, where is God my maker? No man can afflict me who God has not personally given me into his hands. The strength of your enemy in your life is directly proportional to the weakness of your relationship with God. If Nebuchadnezzar is strong and is afflicting Israel and Judah, it is because they have sinned against their God. The days of David, 500,000 Nebuchadnezzars couldn't come against Judah. David and a handful of men, we level them easily. Renewal of your mind. So I pray, hey Shabama, Lord, should I go to village this Christmas? You know the reason why you are praying is because you are afraid of the village idol. If you were not afraid, you want to go. You want to go. You want to see people. You want to go and breathe the fresh air. You live in Lagos. The air in your village is not polluted. You are beginning to have chronic bronchitis in Lagos because of molue. You want to go and refresh. The only reason you are praying is because you hear that one goddess tends to roam around December 23rd. And what if she jams you by accident? You're fried. So you come to prayer point. In the name of Jesus. 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 Nah, lie. Anointing oil, you are afraid. All those confessions are confessions of a fearful man. You're asking, Lord, what is your will? God says, if only you will stop being afraid. You discovered my will last year. 2 years ago, you knew my will. The only reason why we are still praying this prayer is you are still a fearful fellow. So go and read. Go and discover that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Go and read that if indeed that goddess and her chief priestess have a habit of roaming around the 23rd and you want to save the village, that 23rd, go and sit on the main road at 12 midnight hoping they will jam you. Because once they jam you, they don't jam death. One man I know, that really happened to him. In his hometown, he did a vibrant crusade and the chief priestess of the village was terribly against him. And many of the chiefs and all the big men in the village joined the crusade. Many gave their lives to Christ. The final day, they went to church to do Thanksgiving. They finished the Thanksgiving and they went back home. While they were in church, the priestess died. It happens. You see what I'm saying? Being transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. There are those who have written themselves up. Off. I can never make it in life. Why? I'm currently broke. The last 5 jobs I applied for, nobody employed me. Oh, by the way, I don't have a university degree. By the time they finish summarizing it, they have developed what I call excuses for Satan. So they agree with Satan that, you know, I'm a dead man. I'm a poor man. Some people are in places where God did not send them to. Do you know why? Because they think that is the only way they can make money in life. Yeah. That's how this one of a brother, join hands with me. Is it the will of God I should go? God said, you know your problem. You know your problem. You are afraid. You don't believe that anything good can come out of your life where you are. The moment you believe it, you won't want to go anywhere. After that, a lot of things we're telling God to say, he doesn't want to talk. Because he knows that's not your real problem. You know, 2 weeks ago, I was talking about how to pray effectively, right? And I said, many of the prayer points we have, is, look, why God doesn't answer is that he knows that's not the prayer point. He knows. You are praying for the conversion of your uncle. Lord, in the name of Jesus, this is my uncle. He must give his life to Christ. God said, forget. But you are only concerned because he's rich. And you know if he gives his life to Christ, he will stop calling you that SU boy. And suddenly, all the things you need money for, he will help you with it. So, you are praying for 6 years, I have not answered. Not because I don't know how to deliver people. But you are not asking for your uncle's salvation, you are asking for money. Ask for it directly. You see what I'm saying? My people say they hear God. If you are in school, and people have told you that, you must be engaged by the time you leave campus. Otherwise, you will not be able to be sure of who the girls outside are. You don't know how they are. You tell that kind of story. It's okay. So, we are in final year and you're about to leave. Reveal. God says, the girl I want to reveal right now is in secondary school. So, how are we going to do it now? And if I show her to you, you rebuke the devil. You understand what I'm saying? So, you go pray. When you are finished praying, God says, okay, Gabriel, speak to him. So, Gabriel, you do. Near your ear. Say, did I hear Ijoma? Ijoma. Yeah, I heard Ijoma. Amen. Praise the Lord. All Gabriel did was. They now go to fellowship. I'll be chasing one Ijoma up and down. And God will allow her to agree. I know what I'm saying. You know why? Because he knows that in exactly 3 years' time, she will abandon you and marry Jumbo. And God needs her to keep you steady for 3 years. So for those 3 years, you will invest. You have graduated, she's still in school. As NYC Alawi, you go give 1 month to NCCF. Then the other one, you'll be sharing it as you send your father money of your mother. You give your mother her own portion. You go do midnight call. God is teaching you how to pray at night. Don't worry. You will learn. At the end of 3 years, suddenly, the Holy Spirit that spoke to her will just reside. The next time you say, hey, Jehovah, how now? I say, look at the way he's even saying how now. His language is not polished. It's a revelation. Then one day, she now say, my birthday is next week. You say, is it next week? See, he didn't even remember my birthday. Are you sure this guy is a good man? Then meanwhile, Jumbo will now arise. If I will now be a pastor in her church, demonstrating the kind of anointing she loves. Like T.D. Jakes. Maybe you are going through something tonight. And the Lord is speaking to you. The girl with the The next thing, she start having second thoughts. You know the truth? The first time both of you heard the voice of God, it was confusion you heard. And God allowed it to keep you in order for the next 3 years. So that your secondary school girl can mature. But that means your man finishes with you. You'll be so humble. You will doubt the voice of God. I mean, you won't be the same again. Then, of course, you know what you start doing? You start believing God that she will soon repent. Then one day, as you are praying, one night, shapakalaba, some friend will say, oh boy, I'm in town. What happened? What are you doing around? Say, I came for Ijoma's wedding. We all collapse, goes out. Then suddenly, you now hear one Pastor Banky preach. He takes away the first to establish the second. Then you will wake up. You will receive encouragement. At that time, the other girl will be ready. Then, this time around, if God wants to speak, say, God, don't say anything. I'm going to marry whoever I like. This time around, you will not marry in the will of God. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All your confusion will cause somebody lied to you. Say, if you are not engaged by the time you leave school, you won't find a good wife. And it's not true. Just to summarize, one day I was in Adekiti. I was on holiday, so I went to work in the church where I used to attend then. So I was with two men of God. They came from to organize a program. So we were chatting together. So we chatted, we talked, and I talked a lot of things I believed. So the brother said, you're married? I said, no, I'm not married. He said, you are in Lagos. Are you engaged? I said, no. He said, come on, let me advise you. Be careful of Lagos sisters. Like, oh boy, you're in trouble. You are single, you're in Lagos. So I quoted the scripture for him. Two, I said, houses and riches are from the fathers. A prudent wife is from the Lord. I said, go and read Ecclesiastes chapter 7. He said, there is a woman whose hands are snares, nets. Her hands are chains. He said, the man who is pleasing to God will escape from her, but the sinner will be enticed. I remember the statement I made. I said, even if I'm in the midst of 1,000 Jezebels, I won't marry one. He said, okay, Sha, it's true, Sha, amen. God help you, Sha. Do you get my point? What do? We prove what the will of God is. What do? We prove. It's not about whispering and hearing voices. It's knowing the will of God and having a heart ready to receive it. We'll talk further about the renewing of the mind next time. All right, the Lord is good. Can we just begin to give the Lord thanks? We're blessed today. Let's just bow down our heads and give the Lord thanks.